But the human, being a human, spotted an opportunity.
He looked up into the heavens and he called out, "Oh, Sky Chief! Oh, Sky Chief!"
Welcome to The Appleseed, the storytelling podcast from BYU Radio, where your family can gather for great stories from great storytellers in every episode. Stories bring us together, and we hope the stories on the show will spark memories and thoughts that you can share with the people you love. I'm your host, Sam Payne, and our stories today are folk tales that have to do with things that come to the world from the gods. And first up, storyteller Mara Menzies gives us a creation myth where man asks for something that we all seem to wish we had more of. He asks for more time. In this case, it's more time to be alive. And the way that request is responded to makes for a great story. Here's Mara with a story she calls God and Time.
So I'm going to begin with a story from the beginning of the world. So God decided that he wanted to make something exquisite, something beautiful, something precious, something extraordinary. And so he reached up into the sky and he formed the world that we live in. But the world was just round and rather dull. And so he decided to gouge out the valleys and he created the huge mountains. And he thought, not bad. However, it lacks movement. And so he created the rivers and the oceans and the lakes and all the water. And he thought, this is beautiful. And then, of course, came the forests and the animals and all the life that would populate this beautiful world. And when he saw it, he thought, this world has exceeded all my expectations. It's perfect. It's wonderful. It's amazing. And it's not really fair if all the living creatures just enjoyed this world forever. I mean, what about all the other magnificent souls out in the universe? And so that is when God decided to give each living creature, each sentient being, an amount of time that it would be on the world. And so God approached the mighty baobab tree and said, "Baobab, you will have 1,000 years and your job is to collect all the stories of the world." And the baobab tree was very happy. "Thank you, God, thank you." And then God decided to visit the tiny little fly and said, "Fly, your job is important because I need you to keep the earth clean and tidy. But you only need a few days." "Oh, thank you. Thank you, God," said the fly. And so time after time after time was given out until there were only 4 creatures left. There was the human being, there was the mighty ox, there was the dog, and there was the monkey. And God approached the human and said, "Human, your job is very important because I need you to keep the balance of the world. You see, the world is going to change and evolve and adapt, and you must use your wonderful imagination, use your creativity to keep the balance. If you see a problem, try and fix it. If you fail, doesn't matter, just try again. Experiment, innovate, play, have fun. But your job is to keep the balance, so you will have 30 years. "Oh, thank you, God," said the human. And the human was very happy. And then God turned to the mighty ox and said, "Ox, your job is also important because I need you to help the human. You see, the human is very, very smart. I've given the human a wonderful brain. But if you look at the human, you'll see that the human's body is rather weak. A little bit pathetic compared to yours, mighty ox, but not bad all the same. But you have to help the human. You see, sometimes there are jobs that require force and strength. When the human is plowing in the field, you must be there to assist. Whenever the human needs to pull weights to their homes, you must help. So your job, ox, is to help the human, and you will also have 30 years. Do you think the ox was happy? "No, of course not. The ox was outraged. What? 30 years, God? 30 years of hard labor? Now that does not seem fair to me at all. Please, God, I beg you. I just want 10. 10 years is enough for me." And God looked at the ox And of course, God loved all his creations. And he thought, well, why not? And so he agreed to Ox's request. But the human, being a human, spotted an opportunity. And the human turned to God and said, hey, God, if Ox does not want those extra 20 years, well, why don't you give them to me? And again, God did not see a problem, so he took Ox's 20 years and handed them over to the human. And then God turned to Dog. Dog, you wonderful, loyal, faithful creature. You are also going to help the human. Now, your job is important because when the human falls asleep at night, I need you to stay awake. I want you to protect the human. Protect the human's body, protect the human's property, stay awake, and if there's any trouble, bark and make as much noise as possible. Dog, you will also have 30 years. Do you think Dog was happy? No, not at all. Dog thought to himself, what? 30 years? And Dog began to imagine and dream of laying down at night under the stars and sleeping and snoozing and dreaming. And he began to see all of this wonderful dream disappear. 30 years of sleepless nights? Oh, please, God, that does not sound fair to me. I am begging you, 10. 10 years is all I need. And God loved all his creatures and so agreed. But I think you know what human thought. Human considered the fact that there was a spare 20 years going and said, hey, God, if Dog does not want those extra 20 years, why don't you give them to me? And God thought about it and did not see a problem, and so took Dog's 20 years and handed them over to the human. And then God turned to Monkey, and he said, Monkey, my little friend. Now, you might be small, but your job is extremely important. I need you to help the human too. You see, the human is going to be making a lot of decisions. And some of those decisions will be quite simple, like what to eat. But some of those decisions will be extremely difficult. And sometimes the human will be confused. The human will not know whether the decision that they are making is the right decision or the wrong decision. And sometimes those decisions are gonna rest heavy, heavy on the human soul. And so your job, Monkey, is to distract the human from his problems, entertain the human, make the human laugh, annoy the human, do whatever it takes. If you need to steal the human's food, you do just that. But your job is to keep the human spirit calm and at ease. And so your job, Monkey, for that, you will also have 30 years. What? What? Cried Monkey. Monkey was horrified. 30 years of being funny and annoying? Oh, that does not sound like fun to me. Oh, please, God. I just want 10. 10 is enough for me. And of course, God loved his creatures and so agreed. And the human saw those 20 years and said, hey, God, if you don't mind. And God knew what the question was, and he agreed. And he took Monkey's 20 years and handed them over to the human. Now, I hope you've been doing the mathematics of this story. There are still people in this world who believe that our first 30 years are our true human years, where we play, we experiment, we innovate, we try out new things, we try to solve the problems of the world, and then we move into our ox years, 20 years where we work hard. Oh, and after those 20 years, we need a little bit of a break, but we're moving into our dog years where we have sleepless nights. We're worrying about our future. We're worrying about our children. Our parents are getting older. And then if we are fortunate enough to reach our monkey years, then hopefully we will have followed our hearts and our dreams, and we will have lived such full, story-filled lives that we will have many stories to entertain and maybe annoy everybody around us. Thank you.
That was Mara Menzies with God and Time. Mara's story reminds me of the times I've asked heaven for one thing or another. It's happened a good deal in my life. I've watched my family and friends ask for things too. I was in a big crowd of people once, a city New Year's Eve celebration, and I was carrying my little son in my arms, and we somehow got separated from the rest of the family in the press of people all around us, and my son began to worry, and with his head on my shoulder, I heard him say a little prayer that we could find his mom and his brothers. And as he finished his prayer, I watched the crowd part serendipitously in front of us, and at the end of that open passage of people stood the rest of the family. It's a story that still gets told among my children, though they've been grown-ups now for a long time. I sometimes wish my own prayers were answered as readily. I'm a person of faith, and I ask God for help. And God does help, I feel. But more often than not, whatever help I get from heaven seems like it comes with an opportunity to work things out for myself, too. When I was younger, and I might have been met with a financial setback or something, it would seldom be met with a miraculous check in the mailbox. More often, it would be met with an opportunity to work. Sometimes the opportunity seemed miraculous even, but I still had to do the work. And often, when I plead with heaven for a solution to a problem or a way out of a difficulty, I feel like I often hear heaven saying to my heart, "That sounds like a difficulty worth taking seriously. What do you think you should do?" And then I think, and then I do. And that's sometimes what heaven's help feels like. And that's where Mara's story about things that come to us from the gods took me. Where did it take you? And who will you take along? Our next story comes from Ghana, and it features the classic trickster character, Anansi the spider. Trickster characters run through every storytelling tradition, and Anansi from West Africa is one of the most famous trickster characters of all. There are all kinds of Anansi stories, and they get told wherever there are great storytellers. What does Anansi want from the Sky Chief in this story? Storyteller Simon Brooks knows. Here's a story called Anansi Finds Stories on the Appleseed.
So this story is a story that comes from Ghana. And I'm sure you know where Ghana is because you're all very well educated, right? You know where Ghana is?
No.
You don't. You know the bump in Africa? Well, there's some little tiny countries along the bottom of the bump in Africa. And one of those countries is Ghana, okay? And Anansi the spider comes from Ghana. Did you know that? You didn't. So Anansi the spider comes from Ghana. And Anansi the spider, he was the first ever Spider-Man, except he didn't wear lycra or latex or anything like that. Well, one day he heard about these things called stories, and nobody knew what stories were. People confused. But Anansi, being Anansi, he was a guy, and guys like to collect things, right? And so he wanted to find a story and collect a story. And so what he did was he found the tallest tree in the forest and climbed all the way up to the top of it. And when he got to the top of the tallest tree in the forest, he looked up into the heavens and he called out, "Oh, Sky Chief! Oh, Sky Chief!" And the Sky Chief looked down and said, "Who is that who calls?" "It's me, Anansi." "And what do you want, Anansi?" I'd like a story, please." "You can't afford a story, Anansi." "Well, how much do they cost?" "They will cost you the same as everybody else. A swarm of hornets. An Asazi."
"An Asazi, that's a fairy, right?"
"Yeah, it's a fairy. And a python and a black cat."
"Okay,"
said Anansi. And he swung from branch to branch and he danced from leaf to leaf, looking for the black cat. Now, to catch a black cat, you need to make sure you got a black cat kind of catching trap, right? Right? That's not easy to say on the best of days. And so Anansi, first of all, he had to find out where this cat was. And he found out where the cat was. He found its trail, its path. And when he found that trail and path, he dug down this huge pit. And then over the top of the pit, he spread his web. And he spread it out and spread it out and spread it out. And then very carefully put leaves and twigs and little tiny sticks. And he put moss on it and grasses and lichen, or if you like, lichen, and he put all of these things on it so it just looked like the regular path. And he waited for this black cat to show up. And when he saw the black cat hiding from behind a tree, he was a little bit surprised. "Ah, I didn't know it was that black cat." He looked at the huge claws on the huge paws, the massive muscular arms, the broad shoulders, the thick neck, the square jaw, the sharp teeth, and the yellow eyes. For it was a panther. And the panther made his way down the path, and he got to that part of the path that was the trap, and he, boink, boink, that's strange. Doink, straight down into the pit. Wow, wow. And then it's like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And he started to gather up the web. And he's pulling and pulling and pulling this thread and this web up until he gets a whole, get back over here. Threw him into a sack, spun his thread around the top of the sack, threw the sack over his shoulder, climbed up the tallest tree in the forest. Sky Chief, Sky Chief, Sky Chief, Sky Chief. What is it? Is that you? And he, yes, 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 it's me. It's me and the spider. I have something for you. And he threw the sack up and he caught the sack. And the Sky Chief opened up the sack. And out, wow, came the panther. You have done well, Anansi. I know. But you have many things that remain. I know. And so he made his way back down the tree and he swung from branch to branch and he danced from leaf to leaf until he came to the place where the python lived. And he found the python curled up in its roost, fast asleep. Now, because the python was fast asleep, Anansi didn't want to wake the snake up and find that the snake was hungry, right? Because then he'd get eaten. And so he took a dead branch off the tree and he reached out and he tapped the head of the snake.
And the snake, it started to...
Is that you, Anansi? Yeah, yes, it is I.
Is that so?
Yes, it is so. I was with the Sky Chief the other day.
Is that so?
Yes, it is so. And he sent me to measure you with this stick because there's another snake in the forest. It might be longer than you.
Is that so?
Yes, it is so. But seeing how many sticks links you are, if you could come down the tree and stretch yourself out in a big long line.
Is that so?
Yes, it is so! And so the snake slowly slid down the tree and it stretched itself out in a big long line. And the man said, I'll just start with your head. And he took the stick and bang! He hit the stick on the head of the snake. And he took the snake and started to pull it into the sack. And he's pulling and pulling. He said, this is huge. It's a monstrous. And he got the sack filled with snake. He spun his thread around the top of the sack. He threw the sack over his shoulder. He climbed up the tallest tree in the forest. And he called out, oh, Sky Chief. Oh, Sky Chief.
Is that you, Anansi?
Yes, it is. I have something for you.
Yes, I thought you might.
And he threw the sack up to the Sky Chief, and the Sky Chief opened up the sack, and out slithered a really rather dazed snake.
So am I still the longest snake in the jungle?
Yes, said Anansi.
Is that so?
Yes, said Anansi, and the snake slithered back off its way to its roost in the trees.
You have done well, Anansi, but what remains still remains.
I know. And so he swung from branch to branch, and he danced from leaf to leaf until he came to the place where the hornets lived. And the hornets, they're all buzzing around the nest, and he's looking and looking, and he's looking for the hornet queen, because, you know, women are in charge, really, truthfully, right? The guys are divorced and are still single. They haven't figured it out yet, right? But anyway, there was Anansi. He's looking for the hornet queen, and he sees, and she's buzzing around and buzzing around. And she's like, oh, hornet queen, oh, hornet queen. Yes, the Sky Chief sent me to count you. And every time I count one, maybe I've counted three. And every time I count three, I think maybe I've counted one. You move around so much. Oh, that is our way. Well, I was wondering if you could fly one by one into the sack here. And so she got all the hornets, one by one, fly into the sack. And when the hornet queen, the last one, flew into the sack, he spun his thread around the top of the sack, threw the sack over his shoulder. He climbed up the tallest tree in the forest. And what did he call out?
Sky.
Oh, you can do better than that. All together now. Oh, Sky Chief. And the Sky Chief looked down and he said, is that you? That's you, Anansi. Do you have something for me?
I do.
And he threw the sack up and the Sky Chief opened up the sack and all of the... all the hornets apart from the queen. They all flew out. And the queen came up to me and said, were you able to count us all? And I said, yes, thank you. And off she flew with the rest of her swarm.
You have done well, Anansi, but what remains still remains.
I know.
And so Anansi danced from leaf to leaf, swung from branch to branch, until he came to the Asazi. Do you remember what the Asazis were? The fairies, right. It's the closest thing that we got is fairies, yeah. And so he knows where this glade is. And where this glade is, he knows that the fairy folk, these Asazi, sometimes appear. And so he made his way there, and he found a small block of wood, and with six of his eight legs and some thorns, he started to carve. And he carved. And he carved this beautiful wooden baby with its hands outstretched. And he found the stickiest sap that he could find and painted this sap all over this wooden doll. And then he got some sweet potatoes and cooked it up with some honey and laid it out in the outstretched hands of this baby doll. And then he hid behind a tree with his sack and waited. And then he saw flying through the glade, through the trees. He saw this Asazi, and it flew down to the ground and settled right next to the wooden doll. And the fairy looked at the doll and said,
"Excuse me, is that sweet potato in your hands?"
Now Anansi had tied a thread around the baby doll's neck, and he pulled in. It looked like the baby doll was nodding.
"Ooh, I like sweet potato. Could I have some, please?"
And again, Anansi pulled on the thread, and it looked like the baby doll was nodding. And so the Asazi took some of the sweet potato and popped it in its mouth. And, that's really... Did you put honey in that? And again, Anansi pulled the thread, and it looked like the baby doll was nodding. "Can I have some more, please?" And again, Anansi pulled the thread, and it looked like the baby doll was nodding. And so the fairy... ate it all up. It was gone.
"Thank you, baby."
And Anansi did nothing. He just sat there. I said, "Thank you, baby." Again, Anansi did nothing.
You rude baby. I said, "Thank you. You should say something back to me."
And the baby that was just sitting there did nothing. And the Asazi just, "I'm going to teach you a lesson." And he pushed the baby doll. And got his hand stuck in that sticky sap. Let go! "Let go, you wicked..." The baby doll completely had Anansi stuck to it with its sticky sap. And Anansi, the fairy, stuck to him in the sticky sap. And Anansi came out and he took the fairy, thump, threw him in the sack, threw the... thread across the top of the sack, threw the sack over his shoulder, climbed up the tallest tree in the forest and called out,
"Oh, Sky Chief! Oh, Sky Chief!"
And the Sky Chief looked down and he says, "Anansi, it is you. What do you have for me?" And he threw the sack up and he opened up the sack and out flew a really rather large, very sticky, very annoyed Asazi.
"You have done well, Anansi. You have brought all the things that I asked for."
"I know.
I shall not give you one story."
"What?" said Anansi.
"I will give you all of my stories." And so the Sky Chief gave all of his stories to Anansi. And of course, Anansi being Anansi, he gave all of his stories to us.
So when we're tired at night and we go to bed and we might have our blankie with us, right? And we might have our num num and we still can't get to sleep. You can go to your parents and say, "Mom, Dad, Granny, Grandpa, can you tell me a story?" And we know exactly what a story is. The end.
That was Simon Brooks with Anansi Finds Stories. What are the stories that make you most grateful that Anansi got what he wanted? What are the things you're most happy about filling your time with? The time Mara's story described as being borrowed from the animals in the beginning. Do you ever find yourself reaching out to a higher power when you're in need or in distress? Have you ever felt like an answer to prayer came with work for you to do? I bet you've got some stories. We hope you'll share them with the people you love. In fact, we hope you'll share the stories with us. We might share them on the show. You can tag us on social media or send us a message at theappleseed@byu.edu. That's theappleseed, all one word, at byu.edu. We want to thank Mara Menzies and Simon Brooks for sharing their stories with us today. You've listened to their stories. Now it's time to share some of your own. You love learning about science and art and history? Check out Constant Wonder, where you learn about our phenomenal world. It's another award-winning podcast from BYU Radio.